just claiming the
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Hello?
Hello? No?
Yeah,
I'm still here.
I'm sorry. That was a that was a mistake. Oh my God. But what did you make of MVP becoming the United States Championship due to a forfeit?
You know what? I actually didn't have as much of a problem with that because MVP, it makes him more of a heel, and that's what heels do. You know what
okay.
I mean? He cuts a hell of a promo. He's good on the mic. He makes I didn't have as much of a problem with that as I did with some of the other stuff, like some of the finishes. At least this helps further MVP, and then, you know, we anticipate what will happen when Apollo Crews finally does come back. You know, whatever his situation may be, I know there's rumors out there what it is, so I don't want to comment on what may or may not be happening with him right now, but when he does come back and he's ready to go, now we've got something for him on the table. You know what I mean? It's something tangible and something that we can focus on. So as much as I'm disappointed not getting the match, I also don't mind it because it gives me something to look forward to, especially for Apollo Crews, because, you know, he is a talented individual who deserves a little bit of recognition, let's put it that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can agree with you. And I can ask you Extreme Rules questions all day long, but I wanted to shift before we let you go. Two more things. NXT, I'm just lost right now. At one point, it was a developmental promotion. Then around Survivor Series, it was part of the Big Three, and now it's back to being, in some arenas, it's back to being called developmental. Because whenever I hear that Adam Cole may be getting called up, you know, it leads me to believe that NXT is being perceived as a developmental promotion again. But what is your take on that? Because is WWE confused right now on what they want to label NXT? Is it a Big Three or is it a developmental? Because it seems like they go back and forth with that. But what do you think is the issue?
It's almost like it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. You know what I mean? And the NXT, you know, and the Performance Center, it's almost like there's two NXTs, if that makes sense. There is the developmental aspect of NXT, but there's also the Wednesday night main show of NXT, which they are labeling as their third brand. And still, it's kind of like this weird perception where, yes, they're still developmental, even though you look at some of the talent on there and you go, man, these guys are good. They're way past developmental now. These guys and gals are ready for prime time. And they kind of are because they are in the States on USA Network. Here in Canada, we get it a little later, unfortunately. But, but you know, they're on prime TV in a slot and in a, I guess you can call it a Wednesday Night War with AEW, and, you know, and people can argue ratings and whatever all they want, but at the same time, you know, you look at the numbers for both shows and you combine them, there's a lot of people watching wrestling, and that's a good thing.
Yep, it is. It is. You summed that up well. Now, and I said two things, and I promise you I'm going to let you go. I know I've said that a few times. Why is AEW building up these indestructible characters like a Lance Archer, a Brody Lee, and now Byron Cage, for them to lose their first very match against, not their first very match, but their first high-profile match, because Byron Cage lost his high-profile match against Jon Moxley. Lance Archer lost against Cody Rhodes, and I forgot, and Brody Lee lost against Jon Moxley in a high-profile match. So why is AEW doing that? What's your opinion on them building these people to be indestructible but having them lose in high-profile matches?
I wish I had a definitive answer for you, but I don't understand it. I guess in this era, their idea is not a slow build in a program to build to a high-profile match because, you know, I thought way too soon for Brian Cage and Jon Moxley. And especially, you know, to have, again, you talk about the finish where Taz throws in the towel and to presumably save. That's that's a babyface thing. The issues, I think, with AEW, here's the thing, and I know I'm going to probably get some flack from some of the AEW fans out there, but the best comparison I could make is a wrestling match and a storyline should be like a chapter in a book, where you have paragraphs, you have punctuation, you have sentences, sentence structure. You know, there's ups and downs, ebbs and flows, and there needs to be a story and some psychology put behind it. What I seem to see from AEW, whether this is just my perception or someone else's, is they are just trying to do as much as they can, and it's basically one run-on sentence as opposed to having some ebbs and flows and punctuation and exclamation marks and periods and commas and stuff like that. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? It's like...
Oh, yeah.
We're going to... It's like going to a fireworks display and everybody going, ooh, ah, but at the end of the day, what does it all mean? You know what I mean? I think they're trying too hard to... wow people instead of trying to, you know, get people engaged in a certain character, a certain story. Like you mentioned some big dudes there, like Lance Archer right now, shouldn't be selling for a guy like Joey Janela. Do you know what I mean? He should be squashing him. Big guys like that. Even last week I got criticized because I critiqued Kenny Omega selling for a guy like Marco Stunt and begging off from him. To me, that makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. You know, you have what people, a lot of people claim is one of the best wrestlers on the planet. And
God.
But they're doing it under the guise of, they're letting him get his stuff in. They're trying to get him out. You're not helping it by making it look unrealistic. You know what I mean? Anyway.
I do.
And the other thing, too, is... AEW went into when they were first starting on television, said they were going to bring pro wrestling back. We're going to go back to pro wrestling, and we're going to give you an alternative to WWE. You know what I mean? And give you a different presentation. In a sense, they are, but at the same time, what they're doing is they're just giving us another version of sports entertainment. So it's not an alternative.
Exactly.
It's an alternate WWE, if that makes sense. You know, it's like we're going to do sports entertainment the way we think it should be, and I don't know.
And I've been on record with saying this, I know it's still early, but AEW, they had a chance to really hit a home run, and I think they've been striking out a lot. I'm not saying the product is super bad or what they're doing is bad. It's just they're not that they're not what they say they were going to be. What you just said, they're not. That much different than WWE. They're just not.
Right. No, and you're right. It's not that there's some stuff they do that I like, and it's entertaining because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a pro wrestling fan, and I do like some of the stuff they do. But I also want stuff to make sense, like we talked about earlier with the Extreme Rules stuff, the stuff that didn't make sense. I want stuff to make sense, and a lot of times, a lot of what they do doesn't make sense. And I'm a sense kind of guy.
Absolutely. Hey, that's why I like you, and I like the reference. Now, I got two questions in one. I think I'm being slick by saying I got two questions in one. So forgive me. When did you know it was a time to hang everything up as far as refereeing? And also, is there anything you want to promote that you have coming up or anything you want to say before we let you go? So that was two questions in one. Yeah.
Okay. As far as knowing what, you never really know. You know, to make a really long, convoluted story short, my father got sick, and I took some time away from WWE. Mm. And while I was away, we came to the conclusion that after speaking with them that I wasn't ready to come back. So they said, well, you know, we will release you from your contract, you know, and when you're ready to come back, you know, give us a call, and the door is always open. And, you know, after my father ended up passing away, and, you know, I had dedicated my life to, you know, a lot of my life to being on the road, and, you know, now married with a wife, and her only getting to see me a day and a half a week if she was lucky or unlucky, depending on how you look at it. You know, I just felt it was time to take a break. Do you know what I mean? As much as I loved and I still do love the wrestling business, I love my family more. And I always will. So they were a priority to me at the time, and I took time away, and I just figured, you know what? I met a guy named Arda Ocal in the meantime, who used to do a show up here called Right After Wrestling. And he said, how would you like to come on the show? And I said, sure. And then, you know, I became a regular on the show. And then, you know, from there, now I'm up here in Canada. It morphed into Aftermath. And now we do Aftermath up here, which I'm still doing to this day. And I love doing it because I get to talk about what I love is pro wrestling. And, you know, I get to be home with my family. So for me, it's a win-win.
Wow. That's beautiful, man. Like, a lot of people wouldn't do what you did. Even in regular working, like if you're working a job where you got to be away from a long time, whether it's driving trucks and working in industries that keep you away from your family, a lot of people won't just stop because they like that money or whatever reason. But I respect that you stopped and put your family first, I guess.
thank you. Well, they mean the world to me, so, you know. Not that my whole family didn't, they would be able to move on without me better than my family would be able to. So,
yes, sir. Jim, anything you want to talk about before I let you go? Anything you want to promote the floor is yours. Anything?
We do a little thing up here in Canada called Aftermath, and you can find it on the Sportsnet YouTube channel, and we do some videos, we do our weekly wins and fails and chat topics, and it's myself, Carolyn Cameron, my buddy Nug Nargang, and the former Santino Marella, Anthony Corelli, who we just chat the week that was in WWE because Sportsnet is the official channel of the WWE. They air all WWE programming up here. And, of course, as you said, during the week, my weekday daily ref and rants, where I keep them to a minute because, you know, I try to keep them entertaining, but I keep them honest. And everything you get there is my honest feedback. And I try to be as active on social media and replying to people, but sometimes, as you know, it can get a little bit dicey on there. But, you know, at the end of the day, let's try and have some fun and enjoy what we all like, which is this crazy business called pro wrestling.
Amen. Wow. Well, Mr. Jim, I have to say this is one of my favorite interviews. I love talking to you. You are indeed down to earth. I'm very happy to be able to had a chance to speak with you, and you was able to divulge things and be honest with me about things you like, things you don't like, your past. So thank you for coming on the show, and hopefully you can come on again, and hopefully we won't have any issues technical-wise.
No, that's all good. Like I said, at least it wasn't on my end this time, because usually the technical issues are from this old guy over here. So, yeah, anyway. But I appreciate you having me on. Thank you, and we will definitely do this again down the road.
All right, take care, man, and God bless, all right?
All right, you too, my friend.
All right. There you have it. What more can I say? Mr. Jimmy Corderas, it was a great, great interview, great conversation with him. I consider myself blessed to be able to talk to him. I consider myself blessed that he accepted the invitation to be on this program. And I can't wait to have him on again. And you guys, if you haven't heard him before, follow him on Instagram. You'll get a chance to listen to the reference, some of the best content that's out there. And, yes, it's only a minute long, but that 1 minute is worth the time of your day. So I really charge you. I really recommend that you take a listen to Jim Corderas and his reference. We only got a few short minutes to go before we end the show today. I didn't realize that we were close to closing time. But I want to say this. I appreciate wrestling because it's a way of escape. You know, a lot of times in life we have issues that's going on in our lives. You know, maybe we have a death in our family, or maybe we're having marital issues, or maybe we're having job issues, or maybe we're having issues with our children, or maybe we're having health issues. And what I like about professional wrestling is this. It gives us that escape avenue, and I think we all need that escape avenue. And a lot of us, we may escape into drugs. We may escape into alcohol. We may escape into gambling, whatever it may be. But I appreciate wrestling for being there. Because it's easy to fall down into the traps where it'll be hard to come back. And wrestling provides us that safe escape. It might not be good all the time. It might not be great all the time. But I definitely appreciate the world of wrestling. And if there's anybody out there that's going through issues in your life, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, I just recommend that you escape and watch some wrestling. It will definitely be that distraction that you need. Thank you for everybody that's listening today. Take care, everybody. This has been another edition of Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez. Have a good day.